Okay, so as I mentioned, COVID-19 has already done a lot of that rewriting. Bars and restaurants are closed, so it's kind of hard to go on a date. Everyone's masked and staying 6 feet apart. And even if you did manage to find that someone special, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to kiss outside your quarantine pod. But, as they say, love finds a way. Steve Paulson called Logan Urie at the dating app Hinge to confirm.
Logan, I think a lot of people assume that the COVID lockdown has pretty much destroyed the dating scene these days, but that's not exactly true, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, I had the same question. I was really wondering, how are people going to respond to the pandemic? And are people going to take 2020 off from dating? So there's been a couple of interesting things that have emerged from that. But I would say the biggest one is the rise of video dating. That's sort of the new coffee date. That's that chance to have this low pressure vibe check and say, is this the kind of person I want to see again?
I was going to ask whether there's actually an upside to dating on video. I mean, maybe it encourages, I don't know, deeper conversations. Maybe there can be a different kind of intimacy than you would have when you have all of that stuff going on when you're across the table from someone in the coffee shop.
In terms of silver linings, a couple things I can point to. So one is, you know, we hopped on a video chat. It wasn't great. And I was happy that I saved the $21 on the cocktails and didn't put on too much eyeliner, blah, 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 right? So another really cool thing that we've seen is this intentional dating. And so that's people who started out the pandemic alone, quarantining, sheltering in place by themselves and said, I don't want this. I don't want to be by myself. And so we've seen people in some ways become more selective and more self-aware. And then that's leading to better relationships. So this was the jolt to the system that a certain group of people needed to actually prioritize dating and relationships. And I think for that group of people, this has been a really helpful wake-up call.
Yeah. So I want to back up for a moment
and
talk about the do's and don'ts of dating more generally. Now, your job title at the dating app Hinge is Director of Relationship Science, which sounds pretty highfalutin, I have to say. What does that mean?
I totally agree with you. Originally, there was a perception that, oh, love is this organic, natural thing, and it can't be studied. But now the direction is relationships are the cornerstones of our lives. Our health, happiness, and overall life satisfaction hinge on them. And so this whole field has emerged that studies attraction, connection, what makes relationships last. And then we basically research that and then help educate our users so that other people can learn from the people who have found success.
What do you think are the most common mistakes that people make, and how, if you really are introspective about your dating history and what you're doing wrong, you can go in a different direction?
The mistake that I see most often is that people are repeating the same patterns over and over again, and they're leading to bad results, but they don't realize it. And so there was this woman that I worked with named Maya, and she thought that love is something that happens to you. Love is something where you shouldn't put effort in or else it's not romantic. And that one day, you know, she would be at the farmer's market and she would reach for the perfect tomato and the other guy would reach for it too. And they would have this soulmate connection and everything would be easy after that. Maya is the type I call the romanticizer. They expect it to be effortless and for love to find them.
Right. Can you give me one other story of sort of a different kind of mistake?
Yeah. So then the second kind is called the maximizer. And this is definitely the people that I see the most in my dating coaching practice. This is a real quote from a client. You know, I like my girlfriend and she has all these good qualities, but could I be 5% happier with somebody else? And I know, I mean, it does sound ridiculous, but I'm like, these are really the things that people say to me. And so this type of person, they love research. They're always going to Wirecutter and saying, what's the best wireless keyboard and what's the best spoon? And they have this idea that there is a total set number of people that they might date and they need to turn over every stone. And only at that point when they're 100% certain can they commit to someone. They're terrified of settling and they always think what else better could be out there. And they don't realize that they've probably already dated somebody who could be a great partner. And at a certain point, you just have to find someone and commit to them and make that relationship great. And the thing is, the maximizer is obsessed with the objective perfect choice. But what matters way more is how you feel about your choice, not making this supposedly perfect choice.
And there's a third common mistake that you write about as well.
Yeah. And the last one, the hesitator, they have unrealistic expectations of themselves. These are the friends and the clients that say, I'll date when I lose 10 pounds. I'll date when I have a more impressive job. I'll date when I have my life together. And they have this story in their head that one day they'll wake up and be perfect and then they'll be ready to date. And what they're doing is that they're underestimating the cost of not learning what type of person they're interested in, not experimenting, and most of all, not getting better at dating. And dating is like stand-up comedy. You cannot do it without an audience. And I don't know what you want to call dating without an audience, but it's not dating.
Right. Yeah. Now, you say that you think dating has actually gotten harder with all of the online dating sites, which sounds counterintuitive. You'd think that it's so much easier to meet people now, but why do you think that it's actually more difficult?
I think for the average person, there's just so much choice and it's really overwhelming. And I really have people in their 20s and 30s that come to me and say, I just wish that I was in an arranged marriage. I just wish someone else would make the choice for me. Like, I don't even think that I'm qualified to make this choice. And there's also this really interesting theory from Eli Finkel, who's one of the lead thinkers in the field of relationship science. He's at Northwestern, and he has this book called The All or Nothing Marriage. And the idea is that the history of marriage actually mimics Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so we used to marry for security. We used to marry for our basic needs.
Right.
And then over time, with industrialization and everything, we started marrying for love. And then we were marrying for belonging. And now we are actually at the pinnacle of Maslow's hierarchy, and we are marrying for self-actualization.
So this means that you want to find a partner who helps you self-actualize, basically who encourages you to flourish yourself.
Yes. So the best marriages of today, the marriages that achieve that, are better than probably any marriages in history, but that many people are also divorcing or ending marriages for reasons that our grandparents could never imagine. You just can't imagine somebody, you know, 80 or 100 years ago saying something like, you didn't help me become my best self, and that's what marriage is for, and therefore I'm ending this relationship. And obviously, right. You know, there's a lot of reasons and no-fault divorces, and we can talk about the whole history of marriage, but just specifically what we expect to get from marriage and who we expect our partners to help us become, all of that is really different. And so you have increased choice that makes it hard to decide. You have increased expectations, which make the decision feel really stressful. And then once you're in the relationship, you have increased expectations of what that relationship will give you, which makes more of those relationships end.
So I want to back up for a moment. You found your partner, you've been with this person for months, maybe years, but you're not sure this is the one, that this is your life partner. Do you have any advice on what to do at that point?
Yeah. So I have a framework called hitchers and ditchers. Hitchers are people who stay in relationships too long because of the sunk cost fallacy. They say, well, I've already spent 5 years in this. I guess I should keep going. And just the status quo bias, right? We tend to prefer the path of least resistance. And so sometimes with those hitchers, it's about helping them understand that they've really tried for a long time, but they've outgrown the relationship. The other people are ditchers, and these are people who stay in relationships way too short. After the 3 to 6 month mark, that honeymoon period, they say, oh, you know, she has this imperfection, or he could be more ambitious, and then they just move on. And one kind of silly but fun thing that I ask these people is the wardrobe test question. And so I say to someone, if your partner were a piece of clothing in your closet, something that you own, what would they be? And answers that I've heard include, my boyfriend is a wool sweater. It keeps me warm, but then it's itchy and I need to take it off. Or my boyfriend is a scrubby old t-shirt that I would wear to the gym, but I wouldn't want somebody to see myself in.
So what is the item in your wardrobe that your husband represents?
My husband is a pair of onesie pajamas that I have that I really love. They were a gift and they feel like wearing a hug. They feel like being home. Whenever I put them on, let's say like on a group trip or when we go to my husband's parents for Christmas, there's just something about it that sort of seems to be my essence. And it seems to delight people when I wear these like checkered onesie pajamas. And it's really my happy self, my at-home self, my supported self. And yeah, I love wearing them and I love that that's how he makes me feel.
Logan Urie is the director of relationship science at the dating app Hinge, and she's the author of How to Not Die Alone. Steve Paulson talked with her.